Hi, and welcome to another strategy that will bring you even faster to the level of mastery on your instrument. What we're going to talk about in this video is the principle of indirect effort. And this is really a genius level insight, or at least it was for me, because it's really one of the principles that I hold as one of the main reasons why I actually achieved the skill level I wanted. So what is indirect effort? Well, we know what direct effort is, because that's just going for whatever you want. So you want a cup of coffee? Well, you get up and you make yourself a cup of coffee. If you don't have coffee in the house, you go to the whatever shop and then whatever. It's very direct, it's very simple. And most of us use that method, that thinking strategy, and say, okay, what's the shortest way to what I want? What's out there? How do you do this? And then we just go ahead and do it. But the more complex the thing we want becomes, like learning to play guitar, for instance, that's a huge thing compared to, you know, getting yourself a cup of coffee. The more complex the goal that we have, the more we have to use indirect effort. Because if the task is simple, if the goal is simple, we know the project. We know exactly what steps to take to get from A to C. But the more complex the task, the more, you know, the more we don't know actually how to get the result. We might start in one end and then the project kind of develops as we go along, because we learn new things along our path. And then the things we learn change the way in which we practice, or in which it changes the steps we take to get to the goal. And so the larger and more complex the goal, the more unknown our path really is. The more we just take steps, and then we take new steps on the basis of the experience that we have all the time. We don't do that when we're going for a cup of coffee or we want to repair our car. Your car might be broken, so you call the whatever repairman, and then, you know, it's basic, it's simple. But the bigger the project, the bigger the goal, the more we have to use indirect effort. So what is indirect effort? Well, a good example is myself when I started out, is that I was lucky to use indirect effort because I was so fascinated with the learning process, because it all seemed completely impossible. When I started out, I used the direct method. I, you know, found a teacher, or my mom told me that I had to play some kind of instrument, and so I picked the guitar, and then I, you know, she found a teacher for me. He told me what to practice for the coming week, and so I practiced that. Then I, you know, saw him again. I practiced whatever he told me. So there was no thinking process. I just did what I was told, and I followed the process that he laid out for me. Then after a couple of years, when I've learned the basic campfire chords and some classical pieces on that nylon string acoustic, I really got serious about, when I was 16 or so, I got serious about reaching the ultimate skill level. I wanted to learn everything there was about playing guitar. I wanted to be able to play any style of music, and I wanted to master all the tools of any style of music. So that was a huge chunk for me. And so I, you know, I borrowed all the books I could, I bought everything I could afford, and just looked into it, and it was just totally confusing. And it looked like a 20-30 year project. And so because that was just totally, there was two roads I could choose at that point. I could just give up beforehand, or I could find a way to learn all this in a shorter period of time, because 20-30 years wasn't really an option. If that was the amount of time I had to put in, I didn't really want to go there. So I became obsessed with finding a way of getting there as fast as possible. And I was, you know, I was always thinking in months and perhaps years, but preferably I would like to find ways of getting there, you know, within 12 months, which was a bit impossible. But I don't know, it's just my opinion right now that you can't get there in 12 months, because time is one of the ingredients in your development, and so time has to be there as well. And even though you practice 20 hours a day throughout the year, you still need time for those skills to mature. So that's really what I believe now, but it might not be true. You might be able to find a way for people to learn guitar at a mastery level in 12 months, who knows. But so what I ventured into was not a project of, okay, let's learn how to do this. What I did was I ventured into a project with the headline, how to learn to do all this in the shortest period of time. That was my whole focus. So I didn't focus on, let me practice this so I can do it. It was every time I practiced, it was part of an experiment. It was part of testing a way of practicing to see whether or not I could learn faster than anyone else around me, really. And that was not to be cocky or anything. I was just fascinated by finding maybe there are secrets. Maybe there are new ways of learning that other people haven't found out of. And, you know, I was 17 years old, so I didn't know any better. I wasn't held back by the belief of, well, if there were other ways of learning the guitar that were much easier and faster, then people would have found them already. I wasn't, limited by that belief. So I started out doing that. But that was the indirect method, because I was not focusing on learning guitar. I was focusing on finding the best ways possible for me to learn guitar as fast as possible. And so that was my focus. And why is that valuable? Well, first of all, when you have the direct approach to a very large a very large project, then your brain is constantly, because there's no perspective in that, there's just practicing. Okay, we got this huge amount of work. Okay, let's practice that. Let's do the work so we can get the reward. And so your brain is constantly going to ask you, are we there yet? Where are we now? Did we get better? And perhaps you've been practicing for 3 hours one day and your brain expects to get some kind of reward. Come on, because that's the project. What are you doing? I'm practicing so I can get better. So I'm doing this work to get this reward. And so your brain is constantly going to evaluate whether or not you are closer to the target or not, which is going to create frustration to some extent, which is going to create, impatience to some extent, emotions that you have to deal with in order to continue, because impatience is not really, you want to get out of it. You want your reward or you want to give it up. So one of the things, right? So impatience can be a driver, but if you don't get the reward fast enough, you're either going to give up or you're going to, do whatever. But when you have an indirect focus, meaning you focus on the cause of why you're learning the skills instead of learning the skills. When you focus on the cause or the real source of whether or not you actually get the skill level in the end, then there's no impatience because you're testing out methods. I used to test out methods. I was focusing on, say, okay, every time I found out something new, could be a practice method. I could be playing the metronome game, which is on my website for free if you wanted. I could be focusing on practicing slow with precision, no mistakes, whatever it is that I was testing out. I had a period of time because I was asking myself, okay, how many times do I have to do this in order to get a result so I can evaluate whether this works or not? Or for how many hours do I have to use this practice method to be able to have enough data to be able to come up with a good evaluation and a conclusion to whether or not this actually works or not. So I wasn't practicing like, I hope I get better tomorrow, I hope I get better in an hour. I look forward to tomorrow to see how good I've become from doing this. No, I was just doing the exercises. Not a thought in my head. I was just, watching sitcoms or looking at the metronome, whatever I was doing. I was doing that in order to figure out whether this works or not. And every time I found something that worked, I just kept improving it, kept testing new things. And in that process, I learned to do all the things I wanted to do. But it wasn't a direct focus. I wasn't sitting down saying, okay, I do that now. I do that now because now I have all the great practice methods. And, in the beginning, I came up with a lot of great stuff. And then gradually, I started, I improved these different methods to the point where gradually I got slower results, not on the guitar, but slower. I didn't come up with as many new insights with time because, I got the majority of them in the beginning and then I kept improving them along the way. But so now I really just use the methods that I came up with. And you might say, well, but Klaus, you teach these methods, so what am I going to do? Well, we all have the same nervous system. You and I have the same, basically the same features. You maybe have longer or shorter fingers, doesn't really matter, these little differences. But we are special. Everyone is special in the way we take in information and in the way we learn. There are really common traits of all people, but you have to look at all that you get and say, okay, how can I develop this? How can I use this in the best way possible? And I'm not just thinking about how you hold your hands if you practice slow or if you practice fast. I'm also talking about the unique needs that you have. Maybe you can't practice 5 hours maybe you can't sit for that long. Maybe you don't watch TV at night, so you have no, you know, hours that you can sit in front of the, maybe you can't really watch TV because you don't have a TV, whatever. You know, your life situation is special. You have a different job than I had. You go to a different school. There are different things. So you have to take all of it into consideration when you design your perfect practice schedule and the perfect way for you to absorb this information. So it's everything, really. But that, taking that indirect approach is really a giant change in how you approach the goal. And as you move ahead on your on the way to the goal, you change the project all the time. And it's really the project that's your focus, not learning guitar. This is really an incredible difference. And one of the things you can do is ask yourself this question. Whenever there's something you want, let's say you've been struggling with alternate picking for years, or you've been trying to learn all the scales across the fretboard, and now you're really up to giving that an extra shot. But then you might ask yourself, why didn't I achieve this already? To bring some intelligence into that process, because instead of just choosing the direct method again and just go, okay, let me practice it again, then say, okay, why haven't I mastered it already? What are the reasons? And what most people's brains come up with as the first thing is, well, because I didn't practice it enough. Because that's how we think, right? When we choose the direct method, we think, okay, I need to learn how to play or how to master this area. Let's say it's scales. Well, what do you need to do? You need to practice them. Bah, right? So practice them, right? So whenever you ask yourself, why didn't I learn it yet or master it yet, your brain is going to say, well, because I didn't practice it enough. And that is level one thinking. That is direct approach thinking, because it's totally confined to one method, one way of achieving the goal, and with only one parameter, which is the amount of practice time you put in. But when you take the indirect approach, you take a step back and say, how did I practice it? How did I try to achieve, what was the system I used of learning? Did I systemize the process? Did I, you know, lay out a plan of focusing on one shape for 1 week? Did I use the principles that Klaus is talking about? Did I use other principles? Or did I just, you know, use some intelligence to step back and then look at, why didn't I achieve it already? Is there a better way? And in that moment there, you begin to focus on the source of whether or not you learn it, instead of just the superficial cause, which is always, well, because I didn't practice it enough. Because as I've been mentioning in some of my other videos, because most people just learn all the basics, they learn the scale shapes and all the tools, and then they don't really know how to apply all those tools and mix them up and combine them and use them in actual playing, but they pick up on that through experience. They use the simplest tools they have, and then they add more complex tool as they grow more experienced. And then when they try to teach other people how to do all that which they learn through experience, they really have nothing to offer. It's just like, here are the basic tools, and then there's this gap of nothing that no one knows how to teach, because that's just 10 or 20 years of experience. But when you use the indirect method, you can look at what goes on, how do I go there? And if you ask yourself enough questions as to how can I get there faster? How can I develop even faster? How can I practice more? How can I be more motivated to practice more? How can I practice more intelligently? If there was a way for me to learn this at twice the speed of anyone else in the world, what would that look like? If there was a way, if there actually was a way, what might that be? And then ask yourself some intelligent questions so you can get there faster. And of course, enjoy the process even more, which is a very valuable question as well. So once you've asked yourself, why am I not there already? Then whatever answer comes up, you can meet that with another question, which is why? And of course, you can keep asking that until you go insane. But if I say, okay, why didn't I master all the scales or whatever, the one scale across the fretboard? Well, because I didn't practice enough, because I have some great methods. Maybe I have the fretboard freedom method. So I trust in those methods, and I can see that's really, those are good stuff. So I didn't practice enough. Let's just say that is my best guess. Well, why didn't I practice enough? Well, because I didn't feel like it. Well, why didn't I feel like it? And I said, well, because there's just so much, so many things to, oh, we got a lot of noise outside right now. There's just so many things to focus on. You know, I got to, you know, the job and the kids and everything. So, and why are there so many things to focus on? Well, because there is. Because I married my wife and I got the kids and I have the house or whatever. See, now the why stops really, because now we don't get any deeper. But I could then look at, are there any changes I could make to get more time for practicing? Well, there might be changes. I can go out and create those changes, and once those changes are in place, I might have more time. Maybe I get up earlier in the morning, I go to bed earlier, I get up earlier, so I got 3 hours of practice time from 4 to whatever, to 7. But then once that is in place, I might find out that I'm still not practicing. I'm not using that time to practice. Why? Oh, and then I might go even deeper and find out that I don't really believe that I can do it. Oh, well, maybe that's something I could focus on. Of course, this is not supposed to be a psychological journey into your subconscious necessarily, but I hope you get my point here, that you go for those, because, you know, we look at people who just, you know, they just picked up on it. They practiced like crazy because they had the passion to do it, because and they learned all of that in a period of their life where they had time. So they were young, perhaps, they could, you know, practice 8 hours a day, whatever. But, and we can just look at that and say, Klaus, we don't need any of your strategies because, you know, you see people can do it. Yes, and because they were, I wouldn't say lucky, but they were just, you know, they came into situations where they passion met with the ability to practice 6 or 8 hours a day. Maybe that's, nobody practiced that much for, you know, continuously. We have up and downs and so on. But so we find these, all of these traits that people have, and then we can look at that and say, okay, how can we emulate that, or how can we get closer to that? How did he practice? Because, you know, I've looked at people practicing perfectly, using the perfect methods, intuitively. And they had no clue that there was any other way of doing it. That's just how I do it. Well, how come you're not trying to push yourself to play faster? Well, because that doesn't feel right. How come you're not, you know, how come you're holding the pick like that? Well, because that seems like the most effective way of doing it. And it's all just, you know, they never questioned it. It's just how it is. And you might say, oh, that's really lucky. Well, let's call it luck then. But we, some people just get it right. And most don't. I didn't. I had a hard time really getting to where I wanted to go. So we have to educate ourselves. And yes, some people get there a lot easier and a lot faster just by doing it intuitively. But we can't rely on that, because then we can just point at them and say, oh, aren't they lucky? Well, we can always use our intelligence to get closer to whatever it is that we want and to get there faster. And using the indirect method is really the way of doing that. Look for the real cause. Look for what goes on behind the, I just need to practice more. Become a investigator of the best ways of practicing. Become obsessed with the thought of, I can actually get there much faster if I really focus on it and if I find the perfect practice methods and the right insights for me. So that's the message of this video. I hope you'll take it with you, and as I said, you are already there. You are already using indirect effort, because this video is indirect effort. Because you could be practicing right now, and I hope you are, but you know, spending time figuring out how to get there faster or the fastest way possible is indirect effort, using your intelligence instead of just following whatever path other people have laid out for you. Because if you look at that path, if you look at 10,000 people beginning to play guitar, and you look at how many people give up, how few of them actually reach the skill level they want, you can see that today's general teaching style or method, whatever we put these students through, actually makes a very small percentage complete their mission. So there's a lot of stuff to figure out and to look into, and many of the insights are really personal. So that's the message. So I hope this was valuable to you, and I hope to see you in the next video.